Boker Tov, gentlemen. Today is the first day of Shir, Tuesday, January 21st, and we're starting the 12th Perek of Maseches Shabbos, Perek Habona, and let us begin the Mishnah. Nate, Alex, you want to read the Mishnah?
Sure. Habona, Kama Ivane, Vihei Chayev. So, building, how much you have to build in order to be Chayev. Habona, Kol Shehu. If you build any amount.
Okay, let's stop here. I have a kasha. Is anyone bothered by anything? Let me explain what I mean. If your name was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and you were an author, and your job was to write Mishnayos, how would you write this first line of the Mishnah?
Habona kol shehu chayev.
Thank you. Habona kol shehu chayev. And what did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi do?
He
did it a question with an answer. That's wasting a lot of ink. Okay, that's the first question. Second of all, we learned together last semester that for Hotza'ah, there is a quantity of material that you have to carry in order to be Chayev for carrying on Shabbos. Does anyone remember how much wood, for example, wood you have to carry?
Enough to make a fire to cook an egg?
Yeah, enough to make a fire to cook a small egg, a soft boiled egg. Why is that the quantity of wood that you have to carry?
That's how much you need in the Mishkan?
Nope.
What's the Malachas Makshavas?
Nope.
That's how much.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
It's enough to mean something.
I know what you want to say. Can you say it more clearly?
It's because it stays. It's something
like how this stays. Fires go out after a few minutes. A few hours. When we have a shear, an amount that you have to do in order to violate a malach on Shabbos, what is that shear? It's the minimal amount of significance.
Chashivas.
Yes. What's the smallest amount of wood that has a significant purpose? Enough wood to make a fire. That's why when it comes to carrying, even though we didn't do this, When it comes to carrying, let's say you carry food, it's not going to be four twigs. It's not going to be enough food to light on fire that will boil up a soft boiled egg. It's going to be the amount of food that is significant. What's the amount of food that's significant?
A meal.
Close. It's actually not a kazayas in this case. It's a grogeres. Why is it a grogeres? A grogeres is what, a fig or a date?
A
fig. Because that's enough to fill you up when you're hungry. That's the shear, I think. Isn't that the shear by Yom Kippur? No, maybe not. Okay, it's enough to fill you up when you're hungry. All the malachas of Shabbos, the amounts that you have to violate in order to violate, to be chayav, is the minimal amount that's significant in some realm. So how much bona is significant?
Any bona.
So for some reason, the Mishnah is saying that even the smallest amount is going to be chayav for bona. We're going to have to figure out why that is. Why is bona even a kol shehu? We'll have to see. What's that, Justin?
No?
Okay. Go ahead, Alex. Continue with the Mishnah.
They have sates, they have makiv patish, matzad, hakodeach, kol shehu chayev. Okay, so... Chiseling, makapati striking a hammer, matzad, which the Bar-Nur explains is a small axe, and Rashi explains it as like a sledgehammer, of a hakodeah, a drill, kol shehu chayev. You're chayev on, I guess, beginning the building process by using any of these tools, by doing any of these actions.
So even a tiny drill, tiny hole, that's enough to be chayev. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay. I have another question for you, gentlemen. Your name is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. What's Makim
Patish? No, why is it mentioning
Okay, Jess is asking a great question. You're saying Makim Patish is, let's just turn to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, please. to the 39 Malachas of Shabbos, on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, starting from the end. What's the last Malachah? What's the 39th Malachah? On the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph? What? What's the last malacha? Motzi Mishus Nishus. That's Hotzah. What's right before that? Makabu Patish. What's before that?
Mavir.
Mavir and its twin brother, which is?
Machpa.
Mechabeh. Mechabeh is putting out a fire, and Mavir is?
Extinguish.
Mechabeh is extinguishing a fire, and Mavir is?
To light a fire.
To light a fire. What's right before that?
Habonah
v'hasotah. These two malachas, building and
destroying.
So we have Bona and we have Makav Patish as Av Malachas. So come back to our Mishnah. Let's just look at this Mishnah. And the Mishnah talks about a number of activities. The Mishnah lists off Bona, Misates, Makav Patish, Ma'atzah, that's 4, Kodeach is 5. So it has 5 Malachas. Of these 5 activities in the Mishnah, how many of them are Av Malachas?
2.
Two, correct. Bona and Makav Patish. So, the other three are toldot. Yes. And we're going to have to figure out, the Gemara later is going to explain how these toldot will work. After all, what these are toldot, are these toldot of chiseling and is drilling, is that going to be a toldot of Bona, is it going to be a toldot of Makav Patish? That we'll see in the Gemara, not for today. That'll be in a few days.
So the question was, why is it mentioned Kol Shu twice? Why not just make a right. long list?
That's Thank you, Givaldi. You thought of that question did you also? Read the Mishnah, not the one that you have in front of you, but the way the you would author it. Yeah.
Okay. Habonev amistasis mamakum patish matzal vakudach Kol Shu chayev.
Perfect. Two things Jesse did. First of all, he eliminated the Gemara's question. Kama, the Mishnah's, thank you, the Gemara's, the Mishnah's question, Kama Yivna, how much do you have to do? And second of all, instead of saying, look at this. It says, Kol Shu twice. Habona Kama Yivna V'yechayev, Habona Kol Shu, period. Then it says the same amount of Kol Shu, just applying it to 4 other Malachas. V'amisate, Samaku Pazra Matzah, Kodea Kol Shu Chayev. You should have all said it together, all in one. You hear that, Nathan? Okay. That is the next question. Alan, you hear that question?
Yeah, what does it say, Kol Shu twice?
Yeah. It says the same halacha 2 times.
Does
just
it the
No. On the... You see in the second line it says Kol Shu? The end of the first line on the second line it says Kol Shu?
Yeah.
We'll see the Tazrosh in a minute. And then in the third line it says Kol Shu, Alan. Look, the end of the first line says Habona Koshu, and then the third line, after listing the other four, says Koshu. So why is it saying, why shouldn't it just say it much more efficiently? Habona, v'hamistati, samakav patish, v'matzar, v'hakodeach, all those 5 malachas are b'koshu. Okay, so on the Maramakomos, did you have the, is there a 2-line Tosas Harash you had there?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know, I can't access it. Fine. Have a comment here, right?
Yeah.
Who wants to read this second source, Tosas Harash? Who did see it? Josh, you saw it yet? Mm-hmm. Who did see it? Josh, you saw it? Okay, go ahead. You want to read it?
Abonei kama yivne v'hechayav kol shehu. He who builds, how much should he build? That makes him chayav, to bring a korban chatat. Any amount.
Good.
To me, Ali.
What's that?
I wonder.
Good.
Why did the Tana employ this Lashon?
What's Arichut?
Length.
Longer.
Right, longer. Why is this length, this elongating of the Lashon? Aroch means long. Arichut Lashon is the length of the language, meaning the longer language. Elongating the language is saying it, it's saying it twice.
And I think the men... Might be allowed to have a leila meimar. He should have said
have a matzi le meimar.
Have a matzi le meimar. It would have been possible to say, as Jesse said, habonev v'amisate, one who builds and one who squares or smooths or makes grooves in stones, depending on what it is. V'hamakeh v'fatish, one who bangs with the hammer, which, as you said, is an av malacha, meaning putting a finishing touch on it and work. Kol shehu, any amount that he does these things, he's chayav.
Right.
So why didn't the Tanna say it that way?
Good. So now we have two questions on this Mishnah. First of all, why does it start with a question? And secondly, the Tosa Rush's question of why is it being long and dividing up the halacha into two parts when it could just say in one long, one fell swoop, these five halachas are all the Kol Shehu. So we'll come back.
Rush do an answer?
I don't remember. I didn't cut and paste it into my notes, so maybe it was, I guess, for whatever reason, I don't know why I didn't cut and paste it. I don't know. You can look it up later. We'll come back to an answer in a little while, but let's finish off the Mishnah. Alex, you're reading the Mishnah. Zaklal.
Zaklal kol osei melacha umelakto miskayemes b'shabes chayev. So this is a general principle that anyone who does a melacha and his melacha is enduring on Shabbos, that lasts chayev.
Tell me what do you think that means? Give me an example of what would fulfill this klal, what wouldn't fulfill this klal.
That if you built something that's, you know, if you put maybe this, I don't know, it's really structure this together and it falls down right away, it's not a substantial structure, but it's something that will, that people will view and that will view as something that's lasting and that can be used, I guess, without additional support or assistance, at least for a period of time, then that would be in the sky.
Does everybody agree with what he says?
No, I think what it means is that he has to be standing for the whole Shabbat.
Okay.
I mean, so you build something at 6 p.m. or something, like you hear that Shabbat starts at 4, or at 4:30, when Shabbat is already in, and it stays till Saturday at 9 p.m. So, and as compared to someone that you build at 6, at 5, and at 6 it's already done. Gone.
Okay, so it's not so different.
So no, but it said for the whole Shabbat. It said like you could use it for the whole Shabbat. You didn't make it and it got destroyed right away.
You're saying that so it has to at least last till the end of Shabbos,
or at least it lasts till like a significant
time.
We're arguing malachta mitkayemet b'Shabbos.
Yeah.
I think it's just like any. I think it's just like regardless. I mean, I think if you build something to last, even but like Pasha.
You're only chayav if what?
If it's there to like stay during Shabbos and beyond permanence. It's a permanence, a structure like a
kayama versus arai.
Yeah.
So then by that logic, we could build a sukkah, which is a dirat arai on Shabbat.
Well, that's clearly not going to be okay, as you can imagine. We'll build our sukkahs on Shabbos, because after all, it doesn't fulfill Zeh HaKlal, Kosh Melachtim is Kayemes. And a sukkah is a temporary product. What?
A sukkah could last, just you take it down.
Okay. The sukkah is, by definition, a dirat arai, is a temporary structure. Structure.
Right, so by this alone, you wouldn't be chayav.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Dirat
arai is a temporary structure.
But it's still bona.
Of course it's bona. Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out.
So sukkah uses Keva as opposed to Miskayim, because it is there to send.
Okay, I hear that. I don't know if that... Yeah, I hear that.
Like
I have a different point. I want to ask a different point. All of you are assuming that Zeh HaKlal is referring to Bona.
No, it's referring to everything.
Is it referring to only Bona or to all Malachas?
To all Malachas.
Why would you say that? Forget, before you get to Rashi, what would you see in the Mishnah that might tell you that's referring to other things? It says Kol HaBona. Yeah, it says Kol HaBona. And also Zeh HaKlal. Zeh HaKlal usually tells you that it's a general rule. That's what it sounds like. And that is going to be very...
Is the klal for all malachah or just malachah mentioned in this mission?
Good point. I think that's going to be something we're going to discuss in a few days.
But it has to be for all malachah, because otherwise Rashbag wouldn't say... He's giving that as an add-on. Okay, all of these others that have been already mentioned, if you do them, you're chayav. Here too, you're chayav.
So we'll see Rashbag in a minute.
I mean, like, we had that problem with Otah, because it didn't last till the end of the
Very good. I don't even remember. When did we say by Otah? We pointed out at one point that it's not that when you take something out, it doesn't necessarily stay there. I don't remember why did we talk about that? When we talked about
the key the president took to the shul?
No, that was talking about.
I think it was when we were discussing Melechet Machshavah.
Melechet Machshavah, that it wasn't permanent.
It wasn't permanent.
Right. I'll give you a very common example, very applicable example. Writing with disappearing ink.
Disappearing
ink? You write it, and then 2 hours later, it fades away.
Is that even useful?
It's very useful. You know why it's useful?
Even treasure
maps? Writing prescriptions.
Writing prescriptions for doctors on Shabbos. If you have to go into if you're a doctor and you have to be working on Shabbos for whatever reason, but you don't want to, you know, bad enough you can't be at the Shabbos day with your kids. You're in the hospital. So now you have to write a prescription. You're also going to violate Shabbos to write this prescription. So you have a solution. Write an ink that is disappearing ink. Give it a few hours. They'll have plenty of time to go down to the pharmacy, get the...
Oh, 20 hours? That's what it
lasts? I don't know. They could probably chemically figure out, you know, they could probably make drugs that it lasts for 2 hours or 20 hours. No, you're working in the hospital for Goyim. You're working in the hospital.
Oh.
So you want to minimize the malachas that you have to do.
Okay.
Right? Some things that you do in a hospital are life-saving. Great. But there's a lot of stuff that there's paperwork and other things that you do that are not life-saving. Okay.
In that case, you couldn't tell going to the prescription.
That would be great. I don't think that's so feasible if you're working in a hospital. You know, yeah, in Israel, it could be that the nurses in Shari Tzedek Hospital, which is a halachic hospital, I'm told that the nurses have a guy that accompanies them. After they take the patient's temperature and take their vitals, the Jewish nurse doesn't write it down, but the guy who accompanies the nurse writes down the... Because that's not life... To write it down is not life-saving.
Right.
It's not, you know, essential. So a guy does it. That's an Isra Doraisa, probably. The ksiva. So that the guy does. Okay. Let us... okay, so we talked about Zehaklal. We're going to talk about Zehaklal. We're going to spend a day or two talking about this general rule of Malach Tomit Kayemet, that the work that you do has to be permanent, because there are going to be lots of applications to other malachas. We'll see which malachas will be permanent, which malachas will not be permanent, and if you read this Rashi carefully, you'll see that he has absolutely nothing to do with permanence, but that's going to be, I don't know if we'll get to that today. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, go ahead, Alex.
Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Af Hamake Bikornas, Alastan, Bishas Malacha Chayev, that he says that, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that, that even if you write, I mean, if you bang a hammer on the anvil during the time that a malacha is being done, Rashi explains to smooth out the surface and the hammer, chayav meshehu kimisachim malacha, because you're doing it, it's in order to improve the malacha.
Okay, so this is what we're going to have to talk about at length. This last one that Rav Shimon Gamliel is talking about is going to be Bona. What's this last one? This Rav Shimon Gamliel is explaining what?
Matakin?
There's no such malacha that I know of called Matakin.
Oh.
Rav Shimon Gamliel is explaining what? Is he giving a sixth Aver Tolda? Here we had five. We had Bona, Misase, Smak of Patish, Matzar, Kodeach. Is he now saying... We'll see. I think this is going to be his explaining or extending Makabah Patish. How do I know it? That I have to figure out how we know that.
Rashi
here.
He says, Mishu to Misaka Malacha.
He doesn't exactly say it. Well, we'll see soon. But what do the words mean? What is he doing? So here you have to sort of, I'll jump with you to the Gemara on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Everyone look at Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. You don't have to turn any pages. Now, before we see the Gemara, we're going to look at the line or two of the Gemara right before the top Mishnah. Right? There's a Mishnah towards the top of the page, 2 lines before the top Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Before we do that, let me ask you a question. Who here took chemistry in high school? Who here took chemistry in college? Okay. What is the definition of a metal. I know it's a college chemistry. So in high school chemistry, what was the definition of a metal? M-E-T-A-L. What defines metal?
Dog.
Am I the only one?
Conductive.
What?
Conductive.
Conductive, perhaps, I don't remember.
No,
that's
solid.
No,
periodically.
Metal.
Yeah, I think it has to like fulfill its certain properties and means
that
it's metal.
Metal.
Mercury's
metal.
Metal, yeah. Okay, so metals have two, when I learned in chemistry in high school, we were taught that metals have two categories. They are ductile, and they are malleable.
What's
ductile, what?
You play
ductile means they could be made into, they could be stretched into wires, and malleable means they could be banged into sheets or foil. So in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, in the construction of the Mishkan, what kind of metal work was done? Well, they had to make the kelim, they had to make the aron and the menorah and all the little bowls and stuff for the avodah. But they also
had to overlay
the outside of the crush. I don't know if the crushim or the poles for the curtains that were hanging around the Mishkan that made the chatzer of the Mishkan, and they were wrapped with a foil of either gold or silver. I don't remember. So what happens if you have a thin sheet that you are banging down to flatten it, to make it like a sheet or a foil, and you have a nick on the edge of your hammer, what's going to happen?
It's going to be a nick in the sheet.
Or even worse.
It's going to hold the sheet.
Yeah, it's going to break it, or rip it, or pierce it. So what did they want to do to make sure that that wouldn't happen?
Flatten the hammer.
How do you flatten a hammer?
Hanging it on a piece of metal.
Yeah. So one of my students in my previous year was nice enough to draw an anvil. And that's our cornice. Cornice on a sadon. That's, you've seen those anvils in like comic book figures. It's like, that's, you don't see them in real life, just in comic book figures. Yeah.
It's interesting how Rashbag seems to say this as if it's an exception, like it's in Taki Malacha. You would think that the action in and of itself is a malacha.
Excellent. Let's talk about that right now. Let's just see what his words are. Rav Shum ben Gamliel Omer, Acha Makab a Kornis. You bang with your Kornis, your hammer, al hasadon on the anvil, b'shas malacha chayav. Mepnei shu ke. You're not really doing anything. It's just like you're mitakim malacha. So I want to highlight what I think is special, what Rav Shum ben Gamliel is adding. I mean, until you heard Rav Shum ben Gamliel, you would never have known that this would be a malacha. Chaz Rav Shum ben Gamliel says, even this, af. What does he say? Rav Shum ben Gamliel Omer, af. Af. Did everybody notice that first word? Af?
Even.
Sounds like he's adding a chiddush that you would never have figured out until now. Even if you do the following, you're going to be chayav. What's the even?
I'm not going to believe.
So, Rashi, let's work backwards. Look at the last Rashi. Rashi answers that question.
The last Rashi?
Last Rashi on the Mishnah. Who read it? Josh, you saw it? You saw the Rashi?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josh.
Even though he's not hitting it for the work.
So that you're going to have to explain better.
He's not hitting it on the sheet of metal, he's hitting it on the anvil.
Good. Very good. When we talk about bone, so what could I build on Shabbos? Well, I'm not allowed to build on Shabbos. What is this? What are the things I could build? I could build a chair.
Anything.
I could build a house. I could build a computer. I could build a boat. I could build a car. So when I, what do I, what's bona?
Any
I attach a wheel to my car. I attach a CD drive to a mother, I attach this thing to a mother drive. I attach a, to a motherboard. I attach a screw to the stender. What's Mark? What's this case that he's talking about? Are you doing the malacha?
No.
When you have a blacksmith, what is the blacksmith who's working this hammer building? He's building some kind of metal clay, or some metal foil. And then while he's building that, what does he do? Every once in a while he goes, whoosh, he bangs it on his hammer on the anvil to keep his hammer straight so that he could go back to his work.
This would be a rather that Rashbag is not talking about Makabat Patish. Because it seems just from the work itself that you are doing Makabat Patish, fixing the anvil completing it as something useful.
No, no, no. The anvil, you're not doing anything. If anything,
not the anvil, the
hammer.
The cornus.
So I think what Rashi here is pointing out, then let's look at Rashi now. Va'afalpi, again, you're working on a piece of metal. You're working on a sheet of metal, or maybe you're making a becher or a menorah out of metal with your hammer. And va'afalpi, she'enu maka al ha'pu'ula, even though this is not talking about banging on the pu'ula, what's the pu'ula?
The
sheet of metal or the kli that you're actually trying to create. That's not what Rosh Vag is talking about. He's talking about banging the hammer to flatten the hammer out on the anvil so that you could more effectively make your kli or your becher or your sheet still el al hasadan. You're not doing it on the pu'ula, the thing that you're actually making. El al hasadan on the anvil, nevertheless, you're chayav. That's the af of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Even though you're not doing the action on the thing that you're actually building.
But isn't that, he says, but he's still chayav, el al hasadan. What's the Rashi? We knew he's hitting on the anvil.
Right, but Rashi's telling you what the chiddush is. Rashi's telling you that the chiddush is
he's
that
not
you're not
hitting on the anvil to fix the chiddush. He's hitting it on the anvil in order so he could use
the hammer.
So that he could use the hammer will be in good shape so that he could do the malach that he's actually doing.
Right.
So he's not telling that normally binyan is
so
always.
So you're still chayav, no?
You're still chayav, yeah.
According to two things,
makna pashi shi'av and a torah of and a torah.
So that sounds complicated to me. Hold that. It's not going to end up being that way, but let's see. Okay, but now we have to do all the Rashis that we skipped. There's a lot in these Rashis.
So, remember, just to complete the sentence, even though you're not banging the object that you're making, you're still...
Chayav.
No,
that's
you're chayav,
but
you're chayav because you're improving the
So I don't have a better word than the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Pnei shu kemetaken malacha." I don't know how to translate those words.
Okay.
You're... Metakim
Malacha. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of discussion.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, now that we finish the Mishnah, before we see Rashi, what I want to... what I want to... 1 second, please. I asked you two questions before. The Tosaf Rashi's question and the question of why do we start with... And I think to introduce the perek, we have to think about the following. We know that bona is an av malacha. Clearly, building a house, if you start without a house, you start with a bunch of pieces of wood lying on the floor and a bunch of nails in a box, and by the end of Shabbos, you end up with a house, clearly you violated bona. What is the activity? Tell me the exact action that is the violation of bona. Go ahead.
Creating.
What?
Creating. Start. Is it
the action? What act? Tell me what you're doing with your hands.
Putting two things together.
Putting two things together.
Building something that lasts. I mean, like building something. That
tell me the action. Building something that lasts is a whole process that could take hours and days and years. How long does it take to build a building? Sometimes years if it's a big building.
Putting together.
Make something that you say that.
So tell me, what is the act of bona?
Seems like any of the things listed in the probably not exclusive. Any things listed in the Mishnah.
So give me an example of an act of bona.
Screwing,
putting on a screw,
mm-hmm.
Banging in a nail. Is putting on a screw and banging in a nail similar?
Yeah.
Is the act similar?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Cool.
Has a similar.
They're both putting two things.
You're right. You're right. But the act, one is going, you know,
the
like
drill,
that. And one is going like that. What else is bona?
Call him a comic screen.
I think that any
you're
action
giving a definition.
That creates a physical object that is going to be used in the future is bnia.
Okay, let me ask you a different question. Can you please define hotza'ah for me, Alan?
Take him in. Just positive.
What? Hotza'ah.
I
need a better definition. I need a better definition of what is Chavot's
mission.
Thank you. And he wasn't even here last semester. Gentlemen, come on. Akira, Hatzad, Hanacha. Thank you. Right? There is an exact, precise, definitive action that is outlined by Halacha, right?
Maybe there's many ways to do one.
Exactly. That's exactly where I'm going. Bona has any... There's no specific action that is defined as the act of bona. Bona is more the result that you end up getting a thing that came together. Like Rambam says, which you might have seen. So Bona is that you end up with something that is built. But what is the act of the, what is the Maisa of doing a Maisa of Bona? There is no prescribed action. Any action that you do that ends up with a built something, that was an act of Bona. Yes, we have a few examples in this Mishnah.
There's no such shinoi, it doesn't apply to Bona.
You're raising a very interesting question. That's something that I'd love to think about. I never thought about that, but we'll have to think about that. That's a great, great question.
Why wouldn't there be shinoi by Bona?
He's saying there's no specific action, so you can never say, I did this action in a different way. The Torah never prohibited the action. The Torah prohibited the outcome. Okay?
But putting two pieces of wood together doesn't have an outcome.
The outcome is I have two pieces of wood together.
But you need more than two pieces of wood together to have...
But I could do that by any of the three things. I could screw them together. I could nail them together. I could glue them together. I could notch them together. Four different ways to get to the same result called Bona. So there was not the action that the Torah prohibited. There's no Maisa of Bona that you could say, that's a Maisa that's Bona, this is a Maisa that's Bona, this Maisa is not Bona. I start off with a piece of wood, I end up with a chair. I did Bona. I don't care how I got to that.
It doesn't matter if you screwed the chair together or taped the chair together, as long as you end up with the chair.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter if it's a chair or if it's two pieces of wood together.
That's a different discussion that I haven't learned yet. But you're asking, does it have to be usable? Does it have to be just you brought things together? That's a good question. Oh my gosh. So all of a sudden, now that we come to Bona, after all the other malachas, I realize that Bona is unique. Bona is unique, and therefore, I know that if you build a house, fine, I violate Bona. But how much of that... Once you tell me there's no specific action that you could say I'm chayav on, so what do I now have to figure out? How much do I have to do to yes be chayav? That's going to be the answer. But let me explain something beautiful. The first thing we raised today, the first question we raised today is why does the Mishnah start off with a question? Habona kami yivnevi hei chayav. We didn't see that question with an answer by other malachas. I'm going to do so many of the other malachas. How come here specifically we're asking how much do you have to do in order to be chayav? My friends, we just figured out the answer to why this mission has to start off with a question. The answer is because Bona is a malacha that I only know once I get to the end result. When I have a house, I know that I violated Bona. Before that, how much did I have to do in order to... What was that critical mass? What was that minimal amount that I had to do in order to violate Bona? Here, the Gemara, the Mishnah, has to ask it as a question because there's no specific action that is predefined. And I say, you do this, everything else is a predefined action. You do this, you do that, you do that, you violate this malacha, that malacha, this malacha. By Bona is different than other malachas. Bona is a kind of malacha that there is no predefined action. So then we have to ask, how much of it do you have to do? How much building you do? One stick, two sticks, three sticks, a whole chair, a whole house? How much of it, how much of this thing? Again, there's no action that you could say is Bona. Because any action that you do could be Bona if you end up with the result of something built. So how much of that building process is enough to qualify as something that will be... Is it only if I have a whole house? If I built a whole house? Or I built a whole chair? Or a whole table?
Making a fire, isn't it the same thing?
Excellent point. Making a fire will also be the small, very smallest fire. Any way you make a fire, I could use a flint, I could use a match, I could use a
wick.
Well, however else I make a fire, you're right. There are some other...
I just think that making a fire is a perfect example of...
We don't care how you do it, as long as the fire was made.
Exactly. There's a fire.
Yeah, that's true. There are going to be another small handful of malachas like that. The Tosfos Rid, I don't know if you got to on the Marav Kamos, is going to make a point that you just said. We'll get there in a day or two. So, what we're suggesting now is that Binyan is not like other malachas. All the other malachas have a parameter, a definition of what is the malacha and how much you have to do. But binyan is not, bona is not a defined maisa. So we have to say, how much of this, I know when I end up with the house, I violated bona in the end. How much of that, how many activities, when you have a contractor who builds a house, he could probably identify 600 different acts that had to be done. Connecting this pipe to this pipe, plus pouring the concrete, plus putting the tiles on the floor, plus putting the roof, you know, the siding on the side. These are all very different acts. If you built the whole house, you definitely violated Bona. But since this is so different, because we're only looking at the result, how much of it, how much of that house did you have to do in order to be chayav? How much of that house did you have to build to be chayav? That's why the mission had to start off with a question. Is this beautiful? I think this is beautiful. Because Bona is different from all the other malachas. That there's no specific action. If there's a specific action, then you don't have to say, how much of this is to take to be chayav? Just say, this is what you have to do. This is what you're chayav on. But since there's no prescribed action, we have to say, we know when you end up with a house, it's Bona. But if you, and all the steps that got to that, were they significant? Were they not significant? So here the Gemara has to ask as a question, how much of this house do you have you, didn't you have to build in order to be chayav on the house?
So is that a klal? Any time with something that deals with a klal, the Mishnah will phrase it as a question?
I don't know if that's always the truth, but at least here we can understand why the Mishnah would have done it here. It also explains something else. It also answers the other question that we had. You remember we had the question half an hour ago about why did the Mishnah split itself up, the Tosfos HaRosh's question? Why does it say Habona is Kolshu? And then it says separately, Misasteis Makapadish Matzad Kodeach Kolshu. Why do you list them all up together?
Because there's a specific Masa for each of these holdos?
Exactly. The answer is because all the other things have specific actions. Kodeach, Misasteis is a specific action. It's an act of chiseling. You take a chisel and you chip away. Makapadish, we'll talk about at length later. Matzar, you give a bang, whatever that means. Kodeach, you drill. Those are specific defined actions. That's why they're grouped together. Bona is different. It's just this amorphous, result-oriented... You end up with a building and anything that got you there. All the different actions, they could be any of 10 or 50 kinds of actions that got you to a bona. That also has a kosher. It's a different kind of malacha, it's a different kind of action than the other four. And that's why the Tana separated them, that the kolshu of the bona is different in a different category than the other four. This mahalach that I just shared with you is offered by a very beautiful sefer called Mishmeres Moed. But I think he helps us understand the structure of the Mishnah. Any questions about this point that we're suggesting? No, it's not. No. But I think, again, the questions were important. We have a nice answer. You can find other answers I'll be happy with. The point is that we read the Mishnah carefully, and we asked important, you know, just important structural questions about how to write the Mishnah. Now, let's get started Rashi. Who wants to read Rashi? Did you get a chance to see it, or when did you come in?
Did what?
Did you get a chance to see Rashi this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah? So go ahead, from the top.
The first one?
First one. Could you read that differently? No? Thank you. Nathan, did you ever hear me talk about green light Rashis and red light Rashis?
Yeah, these are green light.
Yes.
Yes, you're familiar with red light and green light Rashis? Okay. Asher, there are two kinds of Rashis in the world. The red light and the green light. This is a green light Rashi.
Right, this is one.
I'm going to read straight through from the Dibra Masa straight up. Go ahead, try that again, Alan.
So, Aboni Shamru Abud Melachot. So, Aboni was saying in the Abud Melachot, and they asked, Kama Ivane, so how much you have to build? No?
Right, because when we say Habona, it sounds like, what does Hey mean always?
The
specific thing that we know about.
The
so, what specific thing is it going on? So, yeah. I was just saying, this is going taking you back to the Mishnah, Ayin Gimel, and now we're going to. Understand it. Go ahead. What's misates? This is an important Rashi.
Misates is chiseling.
How do you say chisel in Spanish?
Planear. I don't know.
You know what chisel is? You know what chisel is?
Chisel. Yeah, Alex took like half hour to explain.
I can win chisel.
Right. Okay.
Como planear, no? Como planear. Que volver a plano.
Que.
Not sanding it down. Not sanding it. Not if something is rough, you sand it down. No. If you want to shape something, let's say you have, you want to sculpt. If you have a big thing, you want to sculpt. So you
With a hammer also.
Yeah.
You could use a hammer. You could do it without a hammer. Just do this. Or you can do it with a hammer. Not a nail, but like a
Prince of Egypt, Moshe's father. That's his job. You see him for like 2 seconds, or maybe Aaron.
Cincelado.
I remember.
Cincelado. Escorpión.
You hold this, and this side sort of chips away. It's like a little sharp at the end. Okay. So, what we want to do with the rest of the work that we have to do for the rest of this Mishnah is figure out what is this Mishnah, what are the words in this Mishnah. And we also have to figure out, there are only two Av Malachas in this Mishnah. There's a Bona and there's Makabe Patish. The other three are Toldos. So, I'm going to want to know how these different things that we're being introduced to, these different malachas or told us malachas, are related to what happened in the Mishkan. So we will get there at some point, maybe not right now. Go ahead, what's Masatis? Go ahead.
Okay, so Mevaid Aeben.
What does the word Marbea mean?
Marbea is
what?
Square.
Why do you say that means square? Reva. Arba.
Four.
To square off. So here, I'm not sure what it means. I'll tell you what my possibilities are. If I have, Alan, I have a rock. So when I take a rock off the mountain, it's not a perfect square. It's a little round in there, things coming out. I want to make it equal. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, if you're familiar at the Kotel, if you look at the stones on the Kotel, you know that this is a Herodian style building. If you remember, every stone has
a edge
flat, a sort of a flat thing on around the side.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but the down ones, no?
What?
The lower ones,
they do, they don't.
They do the lower ones.
The higher ones don't, because those are probably not Herodian. This is Herodian stone. So there's like the flatter part. So I don't know if that is the Marbea, because you're squaring it, or if just making the structure of a square of a cube of stone, as opposed to a funny shaped stone. I'm not sure which one Marbea refers to. So go ahead, Alan.
Okay. So square stone
umetakne ota
umetakna hakol lefi hamakom.
Stop. Hakol lefi hamakom. What does that teach you?
Everything according to its place. There's no specific act.
There's no specific. Again, we're talking about a specific act called chiseling, but there's no specific
amount.
Not amount. Form or type or goal, meaning sometimes they chisel for this, sometimes they chisel for that. Every building style has its own way that they chisel, and we'll see what he means in the next line, Alan. Stop. What's lahachlik?
Chalak Bet Yosef.
Chalak. Yeah, very good. Yeah, for our Sephardis, our resident Sephardis. Chalak. What's Chalak Bet Yosef? The lungs have to be smooth. Chalak. There are some places that the building style is that the stones have to be smooth. So what do you chisel? You chisel away all the bumps.
Yeah.
So you have a smooth surface. Lachlik, to make it smooth. Go ahead.
Lacharot,
ba charitzim, charitzim.
Well, why does it say like three times?
The reason why it says it three times is when you want to say you do it a lot, you just say it twice. Right. So you're also familiar with Israeli stone, Jerusalem stone, that all the buildings in Jerusalem have to be made of Jerusalem stone. You were there like 12 hours ago, Helen. You know that the stones are all.
Yeah.
They're not flat, they're all. These are charitzim, all these little.
Yeah, yeah. That was a style?
That's a style. It's a style now also. That's called Jerusalem stone. They specifically bang it in the front of it, chisel, chip off here and there, so it has that textured that textured appearance. What?
I didn't know that.
Natural round.
There was like
but it's not natural. They have to make it look natural.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's fine.
Yeah, it
so what do you have in Rashi? Rashi's telling you that the act of chiseling is the Maisa Malacha, and the form of chiseling is it chiseled to be flat or to the opposite of being flat, being bumpy. Well, that just depends on your style. Question. What happens if I live in Yerushalayim? The style in Yerushalayim is that you should have bumpy.
But you want smooth.
And I do it smooth. So I didn't do like the Minag HaMakom. Is that chiseling that I do to make it...
But it's still considered chiseling because they do the same place. They do the same act somewhere else.
Let's see this Rashi again. I'm going to look at Rashi. Rashi says, HaKol Lefi HaMakom. It sounds like in order to violate the Issa D'Oraisa, it's whatever chiseling is, the kind of chiseling that we do in this makom, that's chiseling.
He's assuming that the builders will automatically conform to the style of the area that they're building in.
Well, maybe if you do a malacha in an unusual way, that's called a shinoi in a malacha. So if you do, if in our city the way we build, the way we treat our stones is with grooves, we chisel grooves into them, and I chiseled a flat stone, so maybe that's
so
not how it's normally done in this city.
So there can be shinui in building houses also. Someone will build a house out of brick and the whole town will build out of wood.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that would be like a
shinui. That's something that's the ultimate approach. Doesn't he get any talking about geography? Because then he says where they built, where they incorporate grooves in Germany, Eretz Ashkenaz.
Yeah. He says, finishes up, Eretz Ashkenaz. That's how they did it in Eretz Ashkenaz. In Ashkenaz in Germany, they like to have the grooves. It's that, between you and me, it sounds from Rashi that if it's you're only chayev d'arais, at least, I'm sure it's also d'rabanan still, but if you chisel the way they chisel in your town, in your region, that's called, that's an av malacha, that's the malacha. But if you don't do it the way they do it, that's not called, that wouldn't be called chiseling.
According to Rashi.
That wouldn't be an av malacha of chiseling. According to Rashi. That is correct. According to Rashi. This is something that we have to discuss further, because I think it's very significant. If you're doing these kind of building things that are not, you know, common to your area, that means you're not going to be chayev. So that we'll have to talk about more, maybe. Okay, the next Rashi is the key Rashi that we're going to have to work on. This is the one that we're going to be spending the most time on.
We didn't finish it. I don't even did.
Yeah.
Brandon.
David, you want to do a Makkah B'Patish?
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it?
I want to do it.
Somebody who did it. Doug, you did it? Go ahead.
Okay, Makkah B'Patish, Yavhu Avos Malacha.
What is he saying with that?
That Makkah B'Patish is considered a...
As opposed to what?
Told her.
As opposed to, no. Makapathish is an Av Malacha as opposed to what things in this mission are not Av Malachas?
The other one.
Yeah. It's Sateis, Matzah, and Kodea.
Right.
Yeah. Right? So our mission is funny, because our mission is mishing around, is mixing in Av Malachas with Toldas. So Rashi is pointing out to you, this is also an Av Malacha. Go ahead. In Laz. Laz is old French, Rashi's language. Laz is in France. It's Makapaz is pick. You can look up an old French dictionary. What do you do? Rashi explains. Go ahead. She mefotzeitz bo. Mefotzeitz, what does mefotzeitz mean? Here it means knockout, but the way we use it in modern Hebrew is lefotzeitz, is to explode, to bang with a real bang, you know, to crack off.
Min ha-salah, from a basket.
That's a sal. No, here's a sela. What's a sela?
Rock, big rock.
A big rock, yeah, like a mountainside. So you're going to crack off the stone from the
bedrock,
or some big, some rock. La'achar. What's chatzav? To cut stone. The best English word I think would be to quarry. After he quarried, how do you say that in Spanish? Quarry is a place where you get stones from? Where do you get trees? Where do you get apples? From an apple tree. Where do you get stones? They don't go on trees. They come from a quarry. How do you say a quarry in Spanish?
Cantera.
What?
Cantera.
Cantera?
Say cantera.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like a mountain side of you.
It's a rock, man.
Okay.
Yeah, but Chile is full of my quarry. Q-U-A-R-R-Y.
Yeah. Okay. So la'acha shechatz, after you quarried the evan saviv, from around, on top, on bottom, on right, on left.
And ba'atil, and to separate.
Uh-huh.
And then ha'har, from mountain, sahu. And like the amount of the amount.
A little bit, ksat a little bit.
Makne bepatish, makne gedola. That this makne bepatish is a big, like a big one.
You hit with the hammer a big hit. You strike with a great strike, and what happens when you, so picture, you cut the evan, you cut a slice in this way, a slice in this way, a slice on top, a slice on bottom, and where is it attached? It's tacked down only on the back, because you cut all the other sides, so now you have to give a gigantic bang to bang it down and disattach it from the back, because remember, you can't cut it off the back because you can't access the back. So you give it a big bang, that's how they quarried stones now.
Mit
parekat means it disattaches. Good. Zehu, what's Zehu?
This
is the Gemar Malacha.
The completion of the Malacha of the quarry of the stone.
Stone quarriers. Stone cutters, Now Rashi tells you this is not just a specific case of quarrying stones, but rather this is a general. This is an example of something much more general.
Of the kol hagomar b'shabbat melacha tolda mukhed bepatish bi, and all these all this teaching.
Kol here means anyone.
Any act.
Not any act, but anyone. Anyone who is Gomer B'Shabbos Malacha.
Anyone who finishes.
This is a tolda of Makkah B'Patish.
Yeah, whenever you finish, put the finishing touches on something, that's going to be Makkah B'Patish.
So a tolda of Makkah B'Patish?
That's a designation that's used to.
You're making a good point. You're saying that is Makkah B'Patish.
Right, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you're making a good point.
I just read that way that right now.
Great, we're going to have to talk about this. We're going to spend a lot of time, a good week, I think, defining Makkah B'Patish. Makkah B'Patish, in one word, is putting the finishing act on something that you made. Here, it's not even something that you made. Here, it's when you're quarrying the evans. Now, is there a malacha that knocking the stone off is considered a violation of that malacha?
I think so, yeah.
Which malacha?
Okay.
It's not going there. I didn't throw that thing. I didn't connect anything. I didn't construct anything.
You just built a piece of wood.
I didn't build it. It was here the whole time. No, I disattached it.
Ah, you're super able.
So maybe you could say soter. You dismantle. Soter is when you take two things and you...
Borer. You separated a good time.
What?
Borer.
Borer. It's not good and bad. It's not a mixture.
Rabbi, what's the difference between...
Ruben is asking a very good question. What's the difference between bone by connecting pieces or by disconnecting pieces?
I guess. I mean,
the answer is that bone is connecting pieces, as you saw in the Rambam. Did you see the Rambam? You saw the Rambam.
That's
the Rambam says.
So
that's why the Rambam that you saw today, that you'll see tomorrow, says making cheese on Shabbos is bone.
Right. So we are concerned with the procedure. It's not the same to make an object useful. Disconnecting it or by connecting it.
Bezat Hashem, we'll talk about tomorrow. Makkah B'Patish. Here Rashi said the Makkah B'Patish is, he gave a specific example. Tos is not going to like his example. Tos is going to be bothered by something because you'll see Tos is Bezat Hashem tomorrow in Seder, or maybe. But Makkah B'Patish is putting the finishing touches on anything that you make. It is not a malacha within itself. It's not that you did a malacha X, yeah. When you knocked it off, it is Makkah B'Patish is the malacha. Makom Patish is when you're not doing anything that is any one of the 38 malachas. You're not doing something that's considered a malacha on its own. You just put the finishing touch on the, when you're making or creating or manufacturing something, that finishing touch, whatever that finishing touch is, even if it's very insignificant, even if it's not a malacha on its own, that will itself be malacha.
I have two components. You mentioned the malacha and the chalkalukum, are they? So here he's talking about vegetables.
He's talking about bone. He's not talking about malacha. No,
Rabbi
Herman would be the rabbi
after
that, or no? I hope so. I think so.
He wasn't
there today. Okay.
Another question. I'm not resisting for you because I'm in all the
terminated.
I'm in Rabbi Ben Chaim.
Oh, so could you switch?
Because you're not in the...
I should be now. I hope I am.
No, I'm in your class. I'm in other classes also.
Uh-huh. If you go to the Ritz office to check.
What?